You're listening to a podcast from 702.
Burning questions.
Insightful answers.
Listener's Choice.
With Clement Magnatela.
And our Listener's Choice feature is more about you as a listener of the CEM show. You send us an email on cm@702.co.za if you've got something you want us to discuss on Listener's Choice. It can be anything. This is an opportunity for you to curate the content of the show with us. It could be, we've discussed a number of issues on Listener's Choice. Maybe it's something you feel we haven't focused a lot on, or something we've never really touched on and you want us to discuss. We put it on our Listener's Choice feature. We bring in the necessary experts to answer all of your questions. So keep those emails coming, cm@702.co.za. And today we are discussing cryptocurrency because a listener has asked that we discuss this and whether they are a good investment. We know about Bitcoin and how it soared into this $1 trillion industry over time, but there are other cryptocurrencies that are traded publicly. Some people see them, such as Bitcoin, as the currency of the future, right? As a way of looking at our financial system more transparent, it's more open and fair. But you've got other people who warn of its volatility and how unstable it is. So we've brought in an expert who will help us understand what it's all about and help us also, right? Help us also understand some of the regulatory hurdles that are involved with cryptocurrency. If you know more, maybe you're investing in cryptocurrency, or maybe you've had an experience, good or bad, give us a call. I'd like to hear from you on 011-883-0702. You can call if you've got questions as well. The WhatsApp line is 072-702-1702. 31702 is where you can send your SMSs. Marius Reitz is a general manager for Africa at Luno. Marius, thank you so much for making time. Good morning.
Good morning, Clement. Thanks for the opportunity.
So I don't know much about cryptocurrency except what I read about. So I'm going to ask you the most basic questions so we can better understand. What is cryptocurrency? And maybe you can take us through what some of the currencies are, because mostly we know of Bitcoin.
Clement, yes, that's a very good question. And I think most people refer to Bitcoin as magic internet money. If I had to explain what cryptocurrency is in one sentence, I would probably say you can see cryptocurrency as digital cash that can be sent from one person to another person without going through a bank or a financial institution. With cryptocurrency, you only need an internet connection and a computer or smartphone to be able to send or receive money to and from anyone around the world. So it's really it's the world's first global accessible money. And the reason I compare it to cash is public money. So if you do a cash transaction, it's only you and the other person, and you hand over the cash to that person. But if you do a bank transfer, if you do an international payment, that payment is processed from one bank to another bank. And for international payments, it's processed from, you know, there's often, you find intermediary banks, you know, so there's three or four banks. Each of these banks or institutions have to open their ledgers to debit and credit. So with cryptocurrency, similar to a cash payment, it's just you and the other person or you and the other business, and the money flows digitally. So I think that at its core is an explanation. And then, of course, you get different types of cryptocurrencies. There are, I think I've lost track, but I think there are more than 10,000 different cryptocurrencies.
Wow.
Some of them solve specific problems. So broadly speaking, you get certain cryptocurrencies that operate as payment tokens. So they make it easier and faster and safer and cheaper for you to transfer value from point A to point B. So they're payment tokens. Other cryptocurrencies are what we refer to as security tokens. So they're more investment tokens. So it's better to buy them and hold them rather than using them for payments. And so you get different kinds of these. But at its core, it's digital token, it's digital money. It's not controlled by a bank or central bank. And it's most cases globally accessible. So it knows no borders and it can be transferred from point A to point B without a lot of friction.
So what are the, I want to pick up on just the transferring of money. What are the results of cryptocurrency removing the central banks from managing the money supply is the benefit that there are no costs associated with it? Because you've mentioned earlier the value chain, that if it's the central bank involved, there are a number of stakeholders involved, and there may be charges involved when you're sending money from one person to the other. So with this globally accessible money, can I just send it and there's just no charges involved? Is that one of the benefits?
Yeah, so if you remove intermediaries from any process, whether it's communications or whether it's a trade, if you remove intermediaries from a process, the process, the service gets sped up, and it's also cheaper because you remove costs and you remove friction. So similar with money, if you remove intermediaries such as the bank, but has to process your payment from that instruction, then the process should be faster, and it should also be cheaper because no intermediary takes their charge. Of course, the central bank plays an important part, and banks play an important role. They are trusted custodians of our money, and they've been around for many decades, and people trust them. So I think it's still absolutely necessary for us to have banks and have central banks to set the rules. But now we have a new form of money that's almost similar to the concept of sending an email. We at Lino think that sending or transferring value should be as easy as hitting the send button on an email. We live in a digital era, and we think that money will continue to evolve as it has over the past couple of decades, from initially where we did barter with pebbles and livestock to gold, paper money, and then we used plastic bank cards. Then we started using electronic money, bank transfers, EFTs, and now we think that cryptocurrency could potentially play an important role in the next phase of the evolution of money.
How do you deal with the trust element? Because you're mentioning central banks and how trusted they are. I suppose their long-term existence speaks to that. What are some of the regulatory hurdles involved with cryptocurrency, and how do you assure that trust element?
I think, Clement, firstly, you as the company, so companies such as Luna, we don't buy and sell crypto to customers. We don't give financial advice. We're the platform, the intermediary where customers can interact with other customers. Almost you can think of us as the JSE of the crypto world. So of course, a couple of things are very important. Firstly, we need to have security measures in place to secure customer funds. So customers should feel safe to keep their cryptocurrency on their name. And secondly, we need to ensure that we can safeguard customer information, like the personal information, the ID numbers, and all of that information that you would typically require to open an account with a bank or with a cryptocurrency platform. So we do a lot of work to ensure that we've got proper processes around security, and we also comply with regulations as much as possible. So Luna is registered with the Financial Intelligence Center. We've been registered since 2014, and then there's also ongoing engagement with the South African Reserve Bank. They formed the Intergovernmental FinTech Working Group back in 2018, and there's lots of ongoing conversations around how we can build this crypto industry safely whilst also ensuring consumer protection. So the ESA regulators have been pragmatic in their approach, and they're working very closely with cryptocurrency players.
I've got so many questions, Marius. I want us to get to them shortly. Calls are coming through. I'm coming to you just shortly, even your voice notes. But quickly, please answer the question around investments. Are cryptocurrencies a good investment?
Clement, it's certainly very risky because the price is very volatile. If I just take Bitcoin as an example, we won't encourage people to invest unless you spend a lot of time to understand it, and that's the first principle. And secondly, you first need to obviously pay your living expenses. You need to save for your retirement and put funds into your traditional investments. And only if you've got any funds left after that, then you can consider putting some money into crypto. But start small. On Luna, you can buy 10 rands worth of crypto. You don't have to start off with buying a whole Bitcoin. So start small. But each person will be unique. But what I can say is there's been a long-term trend in terms of the price going up. But the price also isn't guaranteed to only go up. The price will come down again. So people need to be aware of the risks very carefully.
All right. Nina, you're calling us from North Riding. Good morning.
Good morning. My question is, I use the Luno app and we only have access to like four digital currencies. Why don't we have a wider range of currencies available for us to trade and do things with?
Thanks for your question, Lena. Marius?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a very good question. At Luno, we currently offer six different cryptocurrencies, and that's, I mentioned earlier that there are more than 10,000 cryptocurrencies out there. We do a lot of work at Luno before we add any new cryptocurrencies to ensure that it's safe to use, that there's sufficient adoption. And by adoption, I mean when it should be as easy to sell your cryptocurrency for rand as it is to buy the cryptocurrency with rand as well. So we've got a long list of things we look at before we decide to add any cryptocurrencies to Luno. Having said that there are many, many interesting cryptocurrencies that have grown significantly, not in terms of price, but in terms of utility, what people can use it for. And we are very closely monitoring the market and will hopefully in the short run add a couple of new cryptocurrencies to the platform.
All right. And Marius, another question. Another listener says, can the transactions be traced? Like if anyone buys machine guns using cryptocurrency, who controls transactions made by Bitcoin? Who has the records of movements of cryptocurrency?
That's another good question. Each and every transaction ever done on the Bitcoin blockchain is stored and it's public. So any person can, by following a link on the internet, can open up the Bitcoin ledger and can see each and every transaction that's ever been done. The technology has also improved significantly over the past 5-10 years to be able to trace the illicit flow of funds. So at Luno, we use multiple providers to ensure that our customers don't receive or don't send cryptocurrency to illicit spots such as arms traders or child pornography, etc. So yes, it's public, it's open for everyone to see. And secondly, it's still a new technology, but the technology is improving and we're increasingly able to ensure that we cut out any illicit activity.
There's another question here. Someone wants to know, please ask your guest, what is a credible crypto platform in South Africa? Are they credible ones?
Yeah, I work at Luno, so I will say Luno is credible.
Yeah, Luno.
But you have to do your homework, and by doing your homework, I mean you have to spend some time on the internet to Google that company. Firstly, they must have a local entity registered in South Africa with the Companies Commission in SA. So do a search to see if they have got a local Pty Limited entity. You must be able to identify their directors, whether it's on LinkedIn or whether it's on social media or whether it's also online on the CIPC's website. So that's important. Secondly, you can do a basic search to find any negative reviews, any positive reviews of that business. If it's only negative and there's questions around whether it's a scam or whether it's a pyramid scheme, then obviously that's an indication to probably steer clear. I think those are the basic questions you need to ask yourself before you consider any platform. And lastly, they also need to publicly state the security processes. So you go into the website, there must be a section that they dedicate to explaining to their prospective customers how they safeguard their funds and information.
Yeah.
So if they don't have anything of that regard, then you can assume that there's probably little regard for customer safety.
Yeah, beware of scams. 011-883-0702. I want you to share experience. Maybe you've invested in cryptocurrency and you saw some incredible results. Please share that story with us. So maybe it was a bad experience for you. I'd like to hear from you. Give us a call. Send us a voice note on 072-702-1702 or send us an SMS on 31702.
Burning questions.
Insightful answers.
Listener's choice.
With Clement Magnatella.
Right, let's listen to this voice note.
Hi, Clement and the guest there. There's been some scammers going on around the cryptocurrency. You find them offering some crazy interest there in a region of 100%. So just to make people aware, they're usually found on social media and Telegram, and you find them offering crazy interest. They've got no numbers, not registered companies, just fake scam.
Yeah, and indeed. And even on the SMS line here on 31702, someone says, please ask your guest about just Bitcoin and how risky it is online when it comes to scams. Marius, I know I normally just block people when they have just, I don't know, trading or cryptocurrency, because my experience has been how people are trying to scam you. How do people navigate that to know this is a scam and this is not?
Kevin, I think Bitcoin is as appealing to scammers as it is to us, the people using it, because it's a new technology. There's a general lack of knowledge from the general public, and secondly, it's fast, and it's on the internet, so it makes it easier for scammers to operate in that world and to try and trick people. So the guest singing in the voice note made a very good point. Whenever someone contacts you through social media channels, through a direct message, and you didn't contact them first to inquire about anything, then turn around and walk away. No one from Luno or any reputable cryptocurrency company in SA will ever reach out to you proactively. There are no cryptocurrency salespeople associated with Luno. We will never target customers and contact them directly, asking them to invest. That's the first thing. If you are interested, then you have to do it yourself. You have to download the Luno app. You have to go through the process yourself, buy a small amount of crypto. Secondly, there's no such thing as a guaranteed return of 100%. I can't tell you what the Bitcoin price will do over the next 24 hours. It might go up, it might go down. So for that reason, it is impossible for any person to guarantee 100% or 10% return over a specific period, just because we don't know what the Bitcoin price will do, for that simple reason. Mm. And then lastly, I think when you reach a point where you want to open an account with a cryptocurrency platform, please ensure that you use a unique password. So don't use the same password that you use for Facebook and your banking app and all these apps, because what happens is whenever a scammer manages to get hold of your login details, let's say they hack your bank account, then they use your same password and login details to log into each and every of your other accounts. So you must use unique login details for different accounts to ensure that it's a bit safer. So I think if you follow those basic principles, turn your back on people that contact you through social media, don't fall for fixed guaranteed returns, and ensure that you follow proper process and in terms of your passwords and your account safety. Never share your password details with any other person other than yourself. It's like putting your cash out there in the street. If you follow those rules, I think you should be safe.
Yeah. Elijah, you're calling us from Norwood. Good morning.
Hi, Clement and your guest. How are you doing?
Sure. How's it going?
Good, thanks. I just got a quick question. With regards to the other exchanges, your processes, I mean, when it comes to like his transactions, I mean, are you quicker? As in, when it's time for you to actually be cashing up? Because, I mean, I know Coinbase and Gemini, the big complaints with regards to when it comes to them having to actually now pay back money into customers' accounts. I mean, And with regards to the other developing, how can I say, the metaverse. I mean, are you guys also offering any of those cryptos in the metaverse space?
Mm. All right, Elijah. Thanks for your questions, Marius.
Thanks, Elijah. It's a good point you raised there. Elijah mentioned Coinbase. Coinbase is a US-based cryptocurrency company. They only deal in US dollars. So if you're a South African with a South African bank account, you won't ever be able to send rands to Coinbase to buy Bitcoin or to withdraw rands from Coinbase back into your South African bank account. So if you want to buy crypto with your South African rands, and when you sell your crypto, you want that rands to come back into your bank account, then you have to use a South African cryptocurrency platform such as Luno. That's the first point. And then the second point is you also run cryptocurrencies. So yes, Luno offers 6 cryptocurrencies. Those are what we deem to be some of the safest ones, the ones that have been around for the longest time. And we will definitely look to add more cryptocurrencies in future. And we typically guided ourselves by our customer feedback. So if our customers ask for certain cryptocurrency like Cardano or Uniswap, then we will consider adding a crypto. But as I said earlier, we will looking to add more options for our customers in the next couple of months.
Yeah, someone wants to know about tax implications of cryptocurrencies.
Yeah, that's a good question. It's very prevalent currently with the tax deadline looming. The very simple answer is if you dispose of your cryptocurrency, so if you go from your cryptocurrency and you sell that for rands, then there is a tax implication. If you sell the cryptocurrency for more rands than your original purchase price, then you've made a gain and you will have to pay tax on that gain. If you sell the cryptocurrency for less than your purchase price, then you made a loss and you will potentially be able to offset that loss against future gains. So if you sell crypto and there's a gain, then there is tax implication. And SARS is making it a bit easier for taxpayers to declare the cryptocurrency transactions. There's a dedicated question on the tax return that you need to tick to say whether you've done any cryptocurrency trades. If you tick that question, then there's this page that opens for you to enter the information. And also on Luno, if you want to pull a transaction history of your buyers and sells, then you can do so. You can export a statement where you can see your buy and sell prices, and that'll help you to then calculate your tax position.
So how do they grow in value, Marius? You've mentioned the risks that are associated with it, and some will argue that, well, they are more speculations and not really real investments. How do you explain how the value grows?
Yeah, Clement, a cryptocurrency such as Bitcoin can be used for different reasons. So firstly, it can be used as a means of payment. It can be sent from person A to person B without intermediaries, so it's quick and fast. And secondly, it can be used as a store of value. And the reason for that is that Bitcoin has a limited supply. So where central banks print additional units of currency, we saw that in the US, especially during the COVID period, where the central bank printed more dollars into the system. With Bitcoin, there's a cap supply. So there can only ever be 21 million Bitcoin in circulation. So that makes it scarce digital asset. So if I use an example, perhaps. So let's take a Visa share. So Visa is a company, you should have that logo on your bank card. Let's assume that you can use a Visa share if you own a share in Visa through a stock exchange, and you use that Visa share to buy goods at a shop. The more that people use the Visa shares to pay for goods, the more valuable the Visa network will become. And in return, the Visa share price should or should increase. So same with Bitcoin. The more people use Bitcoin for payments, the more valuable it should become.
Okay.
And in turn, the price should increase, but it's not guaranteed to increase because it's still very new and the price is still volatile.
All right, let's try and bring in this last question.
Hey, Clement. I just thought I would add my two cents to the interesting conversation you're having on cryptocurrency. It's Paul here from Sandton. I was one of the lucky few to invest in one of these smaller tokens. I'll give the name away since I don't think it'll cause any issues, but it's called SafeMoon. And I managed to go up about 3,000% on my initial deposit, per se. So yeah, there are some really good ones out there with some good workings behind them, but there's some really bad ones where, you know, it'll just eat you alive when you see that the losses that you can make. So yeah, have a look, do your own research is the word of the game, and all the best.
Hi 702. Cryptocurrency, I had quite a bit of fun over the last 2 years. Invested 4,000, I've taken out 8,000, and I'm currently sitting on 16,000. I did lose at one stage, but yeah, it is what it is, and it's good fun.
No, that's interesting. Another one says, Clement, I made 300,000 returns. So interesting how some people have experienced it. Marius Reitz is the general manager for Africa at Luno. Thank you so much for making time, Marius. It's